Hello there, brave souls. Welcome to Trauma is Expensive with your host, Micah Bravery. Here, we don't just talk about trauma. We count the cost and we make the change. With every episode, we dive deep into the heart of trauma, its implications, and the resilient transformations it can ignite. Through conversations, insights, real stories, and unflinching honesty, this podcast is here to empower every survivor to turn their pain into progress. So let's take a journey together as we understand, confront, and finally heal. Welcome to www.traumaisexpensive.com, your platform for change. Now, let's get started.
Hey everyone, it's me, Crystal, from Trauma is Expensive. I'm here with the host, Micah.
Micah, the hostess with the mostest. And hopefully I'll never be a ghost. So we actually are in the studio.
Yes.
And we were scheduled to record a podcast, but of course life happens, right? So our guest had to take her mom to the hospital. Brittany, we wish you and your mom all the best. We're praying for you guys, and we hope it's nothing too serious. And she just got a paper cut.
Right.
Because y'all know how many times I had to take my mama to the hospital. That shit be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had to do, like, take your mom to the hospital a lot?
Not my parents, because they never really went to the hospital. I mean, my mom hid all her pregnancies, and she literally had them, like,
she called the last day. She like,
like, so I can remember when she had my brother Matthew. She hid her whole pregnancy, and she ended up telling me, like, when she was almost due, never went to the doctors. And the last minute she had said to me, I'm having a baby. If it's a boy, if dad asks you, what do you want to name it? Say this. So, you know, the day she went to go get paint for a car, and I guess on the way, she felt like she was in labor, so she went to the hospital instead. My dad had no clue
that she was pregnant. That is crazy.
Every single one of us were hidden besides my brother Mikey.
Why, though?
I think my brother Mikey... No.
Why did she hide? Do we know why she hid?
I guess
we don't have to tell her story.
No. I'm sure it was the fear of what my father would say. My dad has 16 kids.
Wow.
So I think that it was more of what would he say?
So in a way, she was protecting her children.
She was protecting, I think she was protecting an argument. Like, because she didn't want to.
So she was just keeping the peace. By keeping the pregnancy a secret, yeah. She was like, I'm keeping peace in my household, or whatever peace I can.
But I think that I learned that off of her, because I had my first pregnancy.
I don't even know, bitch. So what, people just thought you was getting fat, though?
Well, I wore extra clothes.
Oh.
So I would wear a sweater underneath a t-shirt.
No, though, because I feel like you skinny. I feel like I would have known. I would have been behind your back being those two bitches talking about you like, this bitch pregnant. She think we don't know she's pregnant. Her ass is pregnant. I would have been talking about you. Now, your mom, though,
How old is she? I think she's 57 now.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. I think that your mom is still young. Like, my mom is 72. She's going to kill me for saying her age. But so I think you still got like a good 10 more years before you having to start rushing your mama to the hospital. It's just scary. It's like once they get up in the age, it's like you never, I don't know. I get scared about like, is this ever the time?
Right. I mean, but even the age, which I honestly don't even know if that's how, because I only remember my mom as 27. She's told me she was 27 forever.
My mom was 36.
I lost track.
And it wasn't even that my mom told me. I used to tell people, they'd be like, how old is your mom? I'm like 36. So I was like one of those people who, like my classmates and stuff, always had a crush on my mom.
Was she the youngest mom?
She wasn't the youngest mom. So we grew up in like a black and white area. I spoke on that before. And I think my mom is Puerto Rican and looks very Puerto Rican. So I think it was just the exotic factor of her.
Okay.
That people found her beautiful because she was different. You know, yeah. She had like long curly hair, and then her eyes are like mine, they're hazel, so they change color. So and then she's olive skin, you know, like kind of olive weak. She's not green, I promise.
I knew what you meant.
I don't even know what color I was trying to say and why olive came out. My mama got olive skin. So
talk about the smoothness.
Right. But she was, that's a good one, right? She was smooth like a buttery olive, but she had like that, like a darker complexion.
Right.
And so people always found her exotic. So like, I had to hear a lot of nasty jokes about my mom growing up, you know? And, but I remember once, like, I got older and people be like, how old is your mom? And I'm like, 36. And it's like, how old is your mom? 36. And
then someone, 36.
Someone asked me that. It was like, I feel like she's been 36 for like the last 5 years.
Yeah, but I think it's maybe the most memorable thing had happened. And that's why that number always just sticks into your head.
So like, was it a good thing or a bad thing?
26. Well, growing up, we came from like our house was always hectic. There was always drinking and stuff. Not anything that I would want now for my kids.
Right.
I mean, my little brother, well, he's not my little, he is my little brother.
Yeah, her father got so many kids. She confused about which one of them her siblings. He was her.
You know, they used to VHS everything. And I remember watching a VHS and he was like 2 years old and he's standing there and everybody's drinking and smoking cigarettes. And I'm like, it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
That's our generation. Like, how good do we look, though? I done seen some 16-year-olds look like they 48. I'm like, y'all is living a little too hard out here. Like, I get that we want to protest and that we want to stand up for everything, but can we take care of yourselves?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off. But I wanted to say that we were looking at, so I have like a one of those frames that does digital.
Okay.
Digital frame. Damn.
Just shoots different pictures.
Right. Of my father. And they're just all pictures of my father. So when he passed away, it was like, hey, everybody who has pictures of my father, send them to this frame.
Okay.
So they like play different pictures. And it came to a picture where my brother, he was little, and him and my father were dressed alike. I thought that was so funny. Ha ha. Exact outfit, bell bottoms and everything. You hear me? Because, you know, we talking about the 70s. We was born in the 1900s, Crystal and I. But he was drinking my father's beer.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, my brother is the most put together person I know. You know what I'm saying? He's a firefighter. He's like really involved in church. I think his dad's gonna be governor one day or senate or some shit like that.
Can he please be president? Look,
if you ever get past his attitude problems,
maybe that will be a good thing.
But he's just like, no, he's like really great kids. Like, you know, he raised, and I'm like. Like, maybe that's what this generation is missing. I don't know. I saw my parents have fun. Maybe it's different for you.
I mean, there was a lot of abuse and stuff as my dad always hit my mom. I mean, I can remember my mom being pregnant with my little sister. And, you know, they got in a big fight over he couldn't find his jacket. He had the jacket on the whole entire time.
Oh, no. Was he drunk?
And he was drunk.
Oh, okay.
Both of them were alcohol. Heavy drinkers, alcoholics. And my mom like had us run down the street, and each car we had seen, we were ducking behind the cars just in case it was my dad trying to follow us.
Wow.
And I was, so she was pregnant with my sister. My sister is, I want to say 34 now.
So you had to be like 6.
So I was pretty young. I was pretty young.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
And I'm pretty sure she's 34. And
so you saw a lot of abuse in your household.
Yeah. I mean, when she was pregnant, he had grabbed her by the hair, had dragged her, you know, like.
Well,
stuff like that.
His defense, he didn't know she was pregnant.
That is true. That is true.
I'm sorry. It's not funny. I always got to be with the joker. It's not funny. No, I'm sorry. See, this is why people think I'm crazy, right? I'm still healing, you guys. I am still healing. I'm sorry. So Crystal and I, we find humor in our past.
Yes.
I feel like in order for us to survive things, we laugh about it. You know,
it's like dark humor.
Yeah, it is dark humor, but humor. You know, it's like our coping mechanism.
Right.
So as you listen to this, remember that you're listening to our opinions, our lives, our stories. So, you know, if it's triggering for you, we're sorry, but we're talking about ourselves. So if you take it personal, then your psychiatrist need to updose your medicine, okay? no, I'm just playing, but I'm serious a little bit. So you grew up in a house with a lot of abuse.
Yes, yes. And I'm the oldest of six. It's me, it's my brother Eddie, my sister Kathy, nicknamed KK.
I guess, say, girl, you ain't got to put your business out there.
and then Matthew, Elvis, and Mikey. Mikey is the youngest. He's the one that, you know, my mom didn't tell that she was pregnant. But I also believe that she told that she was pregnant because of what happened to my firstborn on how he passed away. It was in between of my brother Mikey and my brother Elvis.
Right.
So I think that, you know, she got maybe scared or, you know, to make sure nothing was going to happen. And she blew up like so huge.
Like people too, like, bitch, you pregnant. Ain't no hiding. There ain't no sweat.
There's no hiding this pregnancy.
I like how you try to slide over the fact that you lost your first baby.
That was definitely, I was 16. That was definitely a roller coaster. You know how people like getting in your business. I was on birth control, which was 99.9%. So I was, my son's name is Robert. He was at 1%, or I was that 1%, right?
Right.
Of Avenum, went through my whole pregnancy.
Like that was just some strong sperm. We right? just gonna say the sperm was strong. Okay.
I went through my whole pregnancy. I went to started going to the doctors. You know, I found out I thought I was just was sick, but my mom just had a baby, which is my brother Elvis. And so I was like, what am I going to do? Because I'm the 16-year-old girl that,
right.
you know, I was still being raised as I had to take care of my siblings because right. they worked all the time. And
then
forward and down, like I had the whole pregnancy. There was a lot of, you know, things that was happening as, you know, my dad drinking and stuff.
That's
where I didn't want to tell
anybody. And then the
anybody.
Abuse that your mom got.
Yeah, like I didn't want to tell anybody. Not that I was more scared. I guess I was scared of
course,
what they would
16.
Do.
Well, you were 16. You probably were scared, period.
Yeah. I think I was, I don't know if I was scared of what they would say or if it was, that's what I knew.
Right. So now the father of the baby, is it okay to ask
yeah.
him? Was he like in school with you or like?
Yeah. So me and him had met at, we went to the same school. He was younger than me.
She a myth at 16.
he's younger than me. And maybe that's too, I mean, but we were together for quite some time.
So did he know about the baby?
He knew
and
that I
was okay with having it. And
in the beginning, he was like, I'm still really young. I'm still really young. And I was like, there's a reason I'm having this baby because I was on birth control. And
okay, that's a good way to look. I didn't.
Like
you just said, you were like that 0.01%
right.
chance
there's
of
a
getting
reason.
Pregnant. And there is a reason.
So that was always in my head. And then when I, you know, going down to November 17th, I was went for another normal doctor's appointment, and the dad was hanging out with his friends, and I had found them, and my sister was having a birthday party that day, and nobody still knew I was pregnant. So when I went to the doctor's appointment, came home, they sent me to the hospital because there was like a stress test. You click on a button at the baby's heart. When you feel the baby moves, the heart rate is supposed to go up. Well, that wasn't happening. So I went to the home and I had told them that I had to go find this telephone game for my sister because of birthday party. I ended up going to the hospital. And I was crying because I had nobody with me. I didn't know what was happening. When I went in, I was all crying, and the nurse had said, "Are you okay? Are you in labor?" And I was like, "No, I just got sent here." And I'm in a room. They're handing me stuff to put on, and I'm like, "What do I do with this?" And they're like, "Put it around your belly," and they're doing it. And nurses are coming in, they're flipping me, they're doing all this stuff, and I have no clue what's happening. They're like, "We're about to do a C-section." I didn't know what a C-section was. And I'm like, "What is?" They're like, "Do you want me to call your mom?" And I'm like, "No, don't call my mom." And they're like, "You need to deliver this baby. The heart rate's dropping." So I was just like, "Call my mom." And they're like moving so fast. Next thing I know, I'm on an operating table, and I look up, and my mom is standing in the door, and she's all dressed to come in, but they won't let her in. Oh, wow. So I'm crying, and when I could feel them putting the things down my throat, like, I'm not fully asleep yet.
Right. That shit is crazy.
Yeah. So I'm petrified of being put to sleep now. So when I came out, I was still crying, and I was inside a different, totally different room, and I was still crying for my mom.
Right.
And the nurse said that she'll be in, that I was in like a recovery room or something like that. And I said, "Where's my son?" And the lady turned to me and was like, "I'm sorry, your son didn't make it." So I start crying even harder, where I was hyperventilating, and my mom comes running in, and she was mad at the nurse for nobody being there when she had told us.
Right.
And I went through the whole thing, like, of, you know, the whole thing of, why did I even get pregnant? I was on birth control. This shouldn't be happening. There was a reason I got pregnant, just for it to get taken away from me.
That was going to be my question, was like, you know, you decided to have this baby because there's a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. And then it's so...
It made me believe that things don't happen for a reason. Like, wow, I don't believe things happen for a reason, right, because of that case.
I mean, that would have been a good teacher of that.
Right.
You know, like, that situation would have been a good teacher of that. But I don't know. When people say things happen for a reason, my question is always, whose reason? Like, who is right. they? Like, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. Sometimes I say it because, you know, but damn, that's true. It's like, I say here.
I think it all depends on what the situation is, maybe. And
well, I always think that people say things. I'm going to use the most craziest example. Because I always feel like, so... we all know I'm tormented when it comes to spirituality, when it right. comes to like religion, you know, was kind of grew up Catholic, and I was tormented with people's beliefs. So even now, where I don't know whether or not I believe in God, I still worry about being disrespectful in what I say, you know right. what I'm saying? Just because there is a God, and he's going to be like, "Oh yeah, bitch, when you thought I wasn't real, this is the shit you said," right? So, I mean, like, but in this situation, like, it drives me crazy, like, in cancer. Mm-hmm. Right. When I was or came out and having remission the first time, you know, it was like, God is good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, won't he do it? And I'm like, he wasn't there with me. Like, I felt the pain of this chemo. Like, I always tell people, I never felt the spirit of God. And maybe I have and just don't know it, but mm-hmm. I never have. But my thing is that I guess what I'm trying to say is that people, like, to me, it's like that contradiction with everything that good happens is God, and everything that bad happens is the devil.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's like, I don't, you know, it's like, you know, everything, I worked my ass off to get this paycheck.
Right.
But I got to thank God.
No, I worked my ass off.
Right. And not saying that I shouldn't be thankful.
Right.
And trust, I have a lot of gratitude in my life, you know? But my gratitude right now is for life and not so much a God. I'm going to explain it too much. That's only because when I tell you, I get nervous about this whole God conversation, because it's like, I feel like I'm going to fuck around and find out he real. And he's going to be like, "Oh, yeah, what's the shit you were saying, bitch?" Yeah. Like, because God going to talk to me the way I talk. Right. But anyway, sorry, back to your story. But no, it's crazy. I mean, that would have been a lesson. Like, things don't happen for a reason, because
I went through... What? you know, I protected myself because me as a 16-year-old, I went down to put myself on birth control because I knew I wasn't ready to be a mom.
But she was ready to fuck.
Right. And that's a lesson. No matter what, you could get pregnant.
You could get pregnant.
80 million sperms. So, you know, I went down and I thought I was doing the right thing. Right. And then a couple months later, I find out I'm pregnant. Yeah, and I'm like, damn, maybe there's a reason that I am pregnant. There's a reason. And I have to keep this baby because why would somebody get me pregnant or God? Like, why would God do this?
Right. She was like walking around here like, I'm the new Virgin Mary.
And then 9 months later, take it away. Like,
that's the harshness of it. Like, I carried it full term, full 9 months.
Yep.
You know, but you know what's crazy? And everybody has their right to their own opinion, but there are people that are probably listening to this saying there was a reason. Right?
Yes. People are probably saying
that. You wouldn't be who you were today if that didn't happen to you.
And, you know, and that is right. I think that it did bring me as a stronger person. And I think I'm a better mom because of it.
I think you're a better mom because of all the things you saw in your life.
Right. As like a mom, like I tell my kids everything. I want my kids to tell me everything. And I learned from that.
I don't think that's because you lost.
No, as hiding it. Like, because I hid it and it made me as a point where I was like, well, maybe if I didn't hide it, I would have had more help. Like,
but see, that just goes into blaming yourself.
Right.
Now you're just blaming yourself.
I was blaming myself a lot.
And we're not going to get no positive message out of blaming yourself. Okay.
Right. No, I'm saying it. So this was the feelings I was having. I blamed the dad. Me and him ended up splitting up because we kept doing that. We were blaming each other. Like, I blamed him because he was smoking weed and he like it went back and forth. Right. So we had split up. We're best friends now and we still talk.
Oh yeah.
We still talk.
Back it up a little bit. You're what?
We're like best friends.
Oh, okay. You didn't say like earlier. You said we best friends and best hello. Friends. I'm
No. Best friends in different ways. Like, we talk to each other around that time. Like, we don't talk to each other all the time, like every single day.
You ain't got to explain your friendship with people. I'm just jealous, okay? But no, really, that's a dope lesson. Well, that's like a crazy lesson because I would, you know, I kind of don't believe things happen for a reason either because, you know, my story, I grew up molested and my first memory is of being molested. So it's like, I don't get who reason that is. And if that is your reason, I feel like that's not a God I want to believe in.
Right. Like, that's how I feel too is, so after I had my son, the father had a friend and went to church. And the church was in Troy somewhere. And they had like a movie night. And we watched this movie and it was about, you can't see God. Why believe in something that you can't see? There was a lesson on it, but it was really deep.
Like, that's the movie.
I walked out crying.
That's the movie you watch in church. Why not to believe in God?
No, like it was more saying,
because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Doesn't mean it's not there, but it was a guy like, you have to believe in me because you can see me. Like, there was like a whole
thing. Was the guy Jesus?
But it was basically like a guy saying, you can't see God, so why believe in him? You can see me, like I'm God, like believe in me. And like I ran out of the place crying because now to this day, if I hear about a baby or, I mean, anybody, like I get so emotional because I put myself into them shoes because I was in them shoes. Even though I don't know how they personally feel because everybody's feelings are different.
No, it's like compassion. Compassion is free. It wasn't really, you know, that's our slogan. Compassion is free. You don't owe nobody no explanation for compassion. And it's cool that you have it. And that's crazy. I mean, it's like you think about that lesson as a 16-year-old being scared. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't really talk to your parents because when they're not fighting, they're drinking. Right. And then when they're not drinking, they're fighting.
Right.
You know, and then when they're not doing either, they're not here.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like I can't count on them. I'm the oldest sibling.
Right. And my younger ones, I mean, and I also feel like I destroyed my little sister's birthday, you know, because right. It was her day.
Also, was there shame? Like, did you hide pregnancy because you was ashamed that you got pregnant?
I don't think I was ashamed that I got
pregnant. I don't see you as a shame person.
Yeah.
Just like, whatever. Bitch, I'm pregnant.
I don't think that it was anything to do with that. I don't know if it was because I was scared of what they would I don't even know if I was scared of what they would say. I think
it could just be that that's what you saw your mom do, so that's what you did.
So that, there's a reason she was scared, so I did it because of that.
Because, you know, we learn our first lessons from our parents.
Right. I mean,
if she hid all her pregnancies, then of course your first pregnancy, you're going to feel obligated. I'm not trying to tell you how you
right.
felt.
Oh, no.
We're just saying in speculation that, you know, you're going to feel obligated to hide that shit too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if this is a good question right here. Go ask the stupid questions. But did your child live any or was he just born?
None. Okay. Well, from what I know, he was born past and I was still asleep when I had.
Don't ask me why that made me feel better. No, because you always like think about like people who are like children or like a child that's born for, like, 3 minutes or 3 hours or, you know, so it's like, I probably would have known this crystal if that happened, but.
Right. So another thing that had happened, after I had had him, we had haters on our block. Somebody had called CPS on me and said that they had, that I put the baby inside a closet and the baby's screaming and we have dirty diapers and condoms all over the house. And lady knocked on the door. She said she wanted to see my son. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Because now they're just re-bringing up. Now you got to tell somebody.
Right. Like, what are you? Clearly, if I was using condoms, I wouldn't have dirty diapers all over. Right. So. Right.
Sometimes you be smart, bitch. Sometimes
so. Smart. And then I'm like, who the hell would do this? Because anybody that knew us like that knew he had passed.
Right.
So there was a rumor going on that I had killed him, that I had put him in a closet and starved him. And it was most as like, why would, I mean, people do it all, sad to say, do do it.
Right. It's like bullying. But, I mean, no, not like that's what it was. You were being bullied. You know?
Right. So the CPS lady had came and I had said my son passed away and they closed the case. But it was just like, why would somebody do that? Especially knowing me as a person, like I would never do something like that.
That's crazy. I feel like that's when like the world started to change. That's when we started getting into like this bullshit that we in now.
It's crazy. Like shit.
A guy going around New York City smacking women.
Like, what the fuck?
Like, I want to know what woman made him mad that he going to take it out on all women.
Right?
Right? Like, y'all need to calm y'all ass down.
Issues. And good issues. And, you know, maybe he was, you know, beat by his mom and it could have started from there.
No, trust. There's always a reason behind a reason. But there's always a reason. I said behind a reason.
That and too. I said, yup.
But there's always a reason behind the action, but it still doesn't make the action okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, everybody has a mind where they should think.
Right.
Think.
Because I think that's where
they
we mess up. It's like we get mad and we react.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's the pivotal moment where like things become fucked up, you know?
Right.
It's like you can handle this situation. And it's crazy because you got to think about this shit in 30 seconds. Like, bitch almost got smacked today. Fuck, what are you going to talk about in 13 minutes? Okay, 13 minutes. And it was
13 minutes right out that door.
Right. It was that pivotal point in me where it was like, ooh, I almost lost my job, but I saw me getting evicted.
It was like flashing.
Right. Like a lot happened in 30 seconds, but it really made me think about like the reaction.
You had to stop and think about it.
It's like the reaction of shit.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, he might have a good reason to want to smack the whole motherfucking world. Right. But should he?
No.
I think, so we asking the wrong question, right?
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, the reason, or the, yeah, the reason isn't the excuse.
Right.
There is no excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if you have to have an excuse, that means that your action wasn't correct. So let's just have actions where you don't have to have excuses for them.
Right. And I think this is, goes, the podcast, the These Fucking Feelings Today with Busy. If you watch that, she gives training methods of, you know, there's like 5 steps where it's like, think about, and then by the time you get to that,
right.
You're going to forget about smacking the person in the face.
Right.
Oh, because we would do that. Right.
And then
right.
If you don't, then they just deserve to be smacked. Right.
Rewind it. Equal to 10 methods. Weak.
But,
so I think that, you know, go ahead.
If you were a 16-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
And you were in your footsteps and you were listening to this podcast. I do it to all the guests, right? Because mm-hmm. we never know who we impacting.
Right.
Give them some advice.
If you are a 16-year-old girl that is pregnant.
It doesn't have to be a 16-year-old girl. Any woman.
Any young.
Young woman in your situation.
That is pregnant. I think that they should tell somebody. Find somebody that you are safe. If you don't feel safe enough to tell your parents, tell somebody, because not that it could change something, but you need that support.
Right.
You need that feeling of, you know, that somebody else is with you and standing by you. Not that his dad wasn't standing by me, but you need people.
Right, right.
And, you know, they can even help you tell your parents.
Right.
And if you decide you're pregnant and you don't want that baby, and there's places to bring your child. You can go to a hospital right now and you could just drop a baby. No questions asked.
Right.
There's things out there that could help. If you don't want it, don't hurt your child.
Well, we don't want to support nothing.
Yeah. Like, but go bring it to the hospital. Make sure you tell somebody. Tell somebody that you know that is going to help you.
Right.
If you're scared for some reason. And if you can talk to your parents, great.
Right. Like that's the ideal situation. Talk to your parents. But I think that it's funny because we always talk about that it takes a village to raise a child. But I think I feel like we're constantly raising, you know, and in a way we're all like children because we learn every day.
We do.
So it's like, you should always have a village, you know,
right.
Like you just don't need it as a child. You need a village always,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, you're right. It's like, say you can't tell your parents.
Right.
And, but there's somebody that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I was asking Crystal to give a message, and actually, I just wanted to go back real quick. And just, you were talking about not hurting your child, and I thought you were talking about abortions, and I was like, hold up.
No.
So never mind. I got you now, but I wanted to clarify to people because I thought, as you were saying, don't have a baby and hurt it. But if you have a baby, there's someone that can love the baby. Like, if you feel like you unfit and you don't want the child, there's places to take it. I was thinking Crystal was speaking on, like, don't ever have an abortion, but we would never tell any person what right they have with their body.
Yes.
Right. So I just wanted to stop and clarify that. it was like, I thought that's what you were saying, but then I had to remember that I got to speak Crystal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Crystal would never say that. So I wanted to clarify for the people just because I paused on the situation. However, I wanted to speak to supporters who get the 16-year-old girl that comes to them and says, hey, I'm pregnant. I feel like you have to be careful on how you handle that situation. Mm-hmm. And remember that if they're telling you and not your parent or not their parents, there's a reason. And to just be careful about how you handle that information.
Mm-hmm.
Because where sometimes the right thing to do is to go to their parents, I've seen a lot of situations and heard and read of a lot of situations where it was the wrong thing to do. So I'm just saying, you know, as a person who is asked to support somebody in a fucked up situation, period, if they come to you and they ask you to be a confidant, be worthy of what they're asking you to do.
Right.
Be that confidant. You know, if you determine that they're at risk and they need more help or they should seek more attention, do what you got to do. But right. like weigh the options. Maybe the parents aren't the best way to go. Maybe their grandparents or aunts, uncle, cousin, you know, just somebody other than parents. I've heard of and read of bad situations. So I'm just wanting to put that out there.
The doctor that I actually had, because he actually gave me medicine to stop throwing up because himself, he didn't believe that I was pregnant. I was standing at the window to check out, and he comes around the corner and he picks up the medication. He says, "Follow me." And I'm like, "Okay." So I start following him. As we're going, he picks up a box of tissues. And I'm like, "What the hell?" So we go into the room and he said, he starts talking to me and he's like, "You're pregnant." And I'm like, "There's no way I can be."
Right.
And he's like, "Well, you are." And he's like, and I start crying. And the doctor's like, you know, there's way different methods of what you could do, adoption and stuff like that. And I was like, "No, no, no." But I kept saying, "My mom just had a baby. My mom just had a baby." And I think that that was his reaction. But when I had left the hospital, I had seen my mom and she's like, "Why are you crying?" And I told my mom I had a heart murmur. And
I'm sorry for that. I
told her I had a heart murmur.
What made you think of heart murmur?
I have no clue. Oh,
okay, that's wonderful.
I told her I had a heart murmur, and she had called the doctor's office, and she's like, "My daughter just came here hysterically, and she said she has heart murmur. How serious is this?" And the doctor said, "It's not that serious. She's probably just overreacting." So they never told my mom.
But I don't think, well, I feel like they could have because I don't know. At that time, you being underage?
No, I think that it's a law that yes.
Okay.
Unless it's like it's something because of what you had stated. I mean, some people do, some doctors, I think they coach you into how to tell your parents.
Right.
But I remember that and I was just like, "Oh my God." Like,
I grew up with a girl who, she had told somebody, actually, she told the teacher, mm-hmm. "Don't tell your teacher." I'm just playing. If that's who you trust, tell them. But she had told the teacher and the teacher told her parents. Mm-hmm. When she went home, my mom beat her and she lost the baby.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so that's the reason why I said that message is like, sometimes that's not like, don't be so quick to be like, "Oh, your parents need to know," because we need to find out why they're trusting in you. And I think that goes with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about pregnancy, but it goes with people wanting to hurt themselves and or people, just anything. I mean, just being depressed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if they come to you about it, they coming to you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, chill the hell out, you know?
There's ways to go about things, I think, that...
Don't be a Rebecca. I mean, a Karen.
I think that there's different ways. You have to figure out the reason on why these people don't want.
And that's what I was saying. Don't be so quick to react. Because
there's a reason.
Right.
I mean, that one girl, she had gave birth in the hospital. And she still swore up and down that she never had sex. And they're like, "You did. You just gave birth." But the mom the whole entire time was like bickering at her. Like, "I told you this could happen," and stuff like that. And I think that that's what it is. Parents, of course, want the best for their children.
Right.
But make it okay that they're talking to you.
Right.
That don't make them scared.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's why I tell my kids, if you tell me, I would never be disappointed in them. I'd be disappointed if they don't tell me.
Right.
Like, I don't want them to, you know, with Anthony, he had a baby. He came right and told me. If that was me, like, you know, and he was not scared to tell me that he was about to have a baby.
But you raised really great kids. So, you know, you got it right.
Yeah.
I should write a handbook.
No, I do. I believe that you should allow your kids to speak
right.
their mind or how they feel. Talk to them because you never know what they're going through. Maybe if my mom or my dad had cared enough to ask questions,
right.
they would have known.
Or even
how
noticed.
Can a parent right. see their child every day and not know anything?
Right.
You know, like.
Because they don't see you.
Right. You know? They were so focused on them. They were so focused yeah. on that beer bottle. They were so focused on, you know, me making sure that my brother wasn't crying right. and having to drive him around so he would stop crying.
You know what, though? I guess to give like some of our parents some credit. Parents have it tough.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Like it's an effort. Like Crystal right now feels like she a sacrificing time with her kid. Like she y'all is lucky that she believe in y'all healing because she like I am sacrificing time with my kids when I could be with my kids right now. But no, you know I think about like the moms that work two jobs. There's 17 hours a day. When you got time to raise kids?
It's tough. I watch my sister. My sister's a single mom. And I always told her, like, I look up to her because she does it without, like, not saying that's easy. Because,
you know,
she has it tough. She has four boys. But, the shit that she has to do.
Right.
And I don't know if her kids really appreciate her right now.
They won't.
Well, you know, I think when they get older, they'll be like, damn, mom did go without this for this.
The sad part is, and just being honest, and you know I'm honest, mm-hmm. that it is causing trauma. Like she is causing some trauma because she's probably not as round as she's not as. Around not as around. Much as damn, it's such a hard. She's not around as much as they need her to be. So the sad part is that she is causing trauma.
Right.
But the reality is, there's nothing she can do about it.
Yeah.
Because it's either caused trauma, or they have or are faced with other trauma.
Mm-hmm. I think you also have to.
I think that's why people but I think that's why kids end up hating their parents sometimes
because they're not around. I feel like...
So, you were never there for me, Dad.
Right. But that's something like for my son. You know, he's going away. He's not going to be there for a whole year for, you know, with a baby. But I think like as a kid grows up, you have to explain to them why and give the reasons of the good on why. And half of these moms and dads bash each other so much.
Right. Right.
You know, I can get in a whole different thing of what my brother Matthew. All he heard was negativity as from his baby's moms, like, you were a piece of shit. You were this. He heard it from my dad. You were a piece of shit. Right, you know, you're going to be nothing. Where he ended up turning to pills.
He turned into what they said he was going to be.
Right. And now, you know, oh, you never did nothing for your kids. Look at her now. Like, he must have did something because now you're like, oh, I have nobody. Like, no. Like, and then she wants money from everybody else. Like, oh, well, you think that since the situation we're in, you would be handing me money. You knew who you were laying with. Like, you know, I love my nephews and niece, but at the end of the day, like, you had them.
Right.
You know?
Like, they're your responsibility.
But you caused some of his issues to make, not my brother had his, you know, he's his own person. He could have not have did it. But when somebody's told something so many times, I think that they do believe. They believe that. They right. believe they're going to be a nobody. They believe that. That's also I'm busy, too.
That's what?
I'm busy. We were talking about.
Oh, that was so busy too. You know what? You just repeating the whole episode. Like, just go back and watch the episode of These Fucking Feelings podcast with Busy Gold, episode 321.
I'm telling you.
We'll see. But you know what? It's like, I don't know. I used to be the most fucked up person ever. And it's like, it's probably hard for you to believe that. And it's probably not hard for some people to believe, Rebecca. Right. because. No, But the reality is, like I used to be, and I grew up so much from that. And we were joking about it, and I forgot my point. Okay. I'm back to it. It's like, yeah, I had a reason to be everything that I was. If you look at my life on paper and then you look at me, you'd be like, damn, you made it, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I had to want that, and your brother has to want that too. Mm-hmm. You know? And
unfortunately, he probably wants that, but he can't. Like, he can't know that he wants that now, if that makes sense, because he's in a coma.
Right. You got to bring that up.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, that just shows you, though, of how much trauma that was caused him, where, you know,
he needed it so much.
He needed it so much. And he was trying to get better.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's true. They say addiction, but really is an illness, is a sickness. You know, it's like, it's really, you know, it's like, I mean, it's fucked up. There's so many sicknesses or ailments. And I think that's one of the reasons why people hate me so much, because it's like, they say I give excuse to everybody and give a pass to everybody. But it's not that it's a pass. It's just that
you don't know what they're going through.
You don't know what hurts people.
Right.
You don't know what is hurting them.
Right.
You know, and it's like, who am I? If there is a God, I'm not him, so I'm not here to judge you. Now, do I judge? Yes, of course. I'm human. You know? But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you have a choice, you have to want to be the one to change. I changed a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I grown so much. And it's like, in that, you know, just knowing, like, who I was because of the trauma. And the trauma I went through.
Right.
You know, I know there are past loves. There are like a lot of past loves that I hurt. I ain't been with that many people in my life, but I hurt so many people, like 400, okay? They was just all my past loves. I hurt them all. And really, it's like four. But
but we know what you mean. We just added them zeros.
Yeah, I was just trying to be a playboy or whatever. I don't know. Sometimes I look at me and I'm like, you should have had more sex. Okay? Like, that's where you fucked up in life. But you know where you went wrong? You said no. Okay? I think that's my issue. If I would have just done it more, maybe I would have got some of this trauma knocked out of me. You
don't say no enough.
Now my issue is I don't say, but I still say the sex. So maybe I'm going to switch it. So if you want to have sex, no.
Call me ass.
Right. I mean, I have some requirements, huh? So not everybody fits the scale. And don't be getting mad at me, because everybody got a taste, okay? If you out here just fucking people to fuck people, then I don't know what you're doing. But you should tell me and give me some advice. She was like, I know people listen to this episode like, this episode is crazy, but it's cool. We're going to air this, because this is what life is about. It's crazy. And I forgot that your brother was in a coma, so excuse me for judging him a little bit. I told y'all I judge. But I was like, because he could born and change. And Chris was looking at me like, you dumb motherfucker. He would.
And I do believe people can change. I know people that.
I know. I know people can change too.
If you want to change, you will change.
I wanted to heal. Like, I didn't want to be mad no more. You know, I was so tired of being like sad and depressed and playing the same thing over and over in my head. And it's like, I couldn't let people in, and I couldn't allow myself to get close to people, and I couldn't have friends, and everybody was some shit, and the world stank. And
I think it was more of, you felt like everybody was against you.
Not so much against me, but kind of. Like, I felt like everybody was out to get me. Like, everybody wanted something from me. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't let nobody want nothing from me, because so much had been taken from me.
Right.
I was just so tired of giving shit, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, but, I mean, life sucked.
Yeah.
You know, my first 40 years of living was some shit. Like, this life was stupid. Like, I knew that I was loved. I had really great parents.
Right.
You know, and I know not everybody is given that luxury, but though I had great parents, I had a fucked up life. Right.
And it's one or the other.
She's like, bitch, you can't have both. Okay. You asking for too much. You want great parents and a good life? Like, you was tripping. Like, things don't happen for a reason, bitch. Okay.
Exactly.
But no, okay. Well, I had great parents. And I was still traumatized. I always say my tormentors or my dementors, like in Harry Potter, I had some dementors. They sucked the soul out of me. So by the time I was 18, I'm going to say I probably was like 15 when I started praying for death. And I think that was the reason where I stopped believing in God, because I'm like, bitch, you do not answer prayers because I woke up today.
It's not funny,
but for real, that's how I felt. Like, I used to pray for death, and it was like, God do not answer prayers. And then people will come around and they'd be like, oh, you meant for something. And I'm like, bitch, you putting it in my ass. No, I'm not meant for that, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I don't want that, okay?
Well, you came from a religious household, right?
Well, my mom, so it's crazy. So my mom isn't overly religious, but she believes in God. Like, right. My mom is a thank you, Jesus woman, you know right. What I'm saying? Like, cool, amen. Like, but she doesn't go to church, and right. She probably never read the Bible.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that if there is somebody up there, you don't have to go to church too.
And that's what she believes.
Yeah,
you know, she's like on that kind of time. But I think like she wanted to teach us differently than what she was taught.
Yeah,
and she thought like religion was good for us. And so, like my brother Brian, I talk about him all the time. That rhymed. Oh shit! I'm a rapper. But you know, he is in. He's more spiritual than religious, but I see how like that saved him. You know right. What I'm saying? Like, I see where he need a God, child. He need a God because he got a temper and he liked to hit people, and not like his wife and stuff. Like, he was a dude, yeah, like yeah. Punching trees and shit. Like, you know, like. And then the tree be hurt. Like, so, like, Hulk Hogan, not Hulk Hogan. What's the other one? The green guy?
Oh, Hulk.
Yeah, the
Hulk.
Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Or Hulk Hogan. Fuck yeah. It. Y'all know who that is. but you know, like, spirituality worked for him. But, like, I went through so much pain. And then it was like, I didn't have a way to escape because everybody took that away from me.
Right.
So, I used to pray for death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was like, whatever. And then it's like, it's funny, I have one brother and he be like, you doing real good, you better thank God or he gonna take it all away. And it's like, why that got to be the message? Why that's the thing you want to say? So it's just crazy, like all these beliefs, and it's like all conflicting. Mm-hmm. And I go through all this trauma because it's like, I hate saying I don't believe in God,
right.
But it's kind of true, you know?
I think it's because, one, as a younger kid, like, you prayed for something and you didn't get it.
Right.
But it was definitely that. Wasn't your time to go because you didn't meet me yet.
So now I can go.
No, because now I need you. But me, my dad, you know, he went to church when he was younger. And growing up, we didn't go to church. I can actually remember a time we lived across the street from a church. And I was just wanting to see what's in it. I thought it was beautiful. I always thought, like, you know, the windows and all that.
Stained glass. And
but my father had
Jesus carrying his cross. It's so beautiful.
But my father, not my mother, always used to say, like, the priest was a bad person.
Right.
That and I had went in there and I had no clue. Like, they had the little holy water and I would go and touch it and I would do it, act like I knew what I was talking about. And he caught me in there. And he threw my shoes like up on top of the church.
He's like, they still there today.
They probably are. But I never went in that building again.
Crazy. But you know what? What if he was molested?
My dad, I mean.
Not only because he was telling you priests are bad guys because he got so mad about you
yeah.
in church. Like, what if priests did something? And I say molested only because that's a stereotype, right? So there I go stereotyping. But what if it's true? I mean.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I never really actually thought about that. And I do hear, like, usually when people are.
Because for him to get that mad, to like, you about to walk home barefooted.
Oh my God, I had no shoes.
And to tell you that priests were bad men and those kind of things, like, they had to do something. I was never molested by a priest, but I had a bad church experience too. So, like, when you're Catholic, and I don't know how it works, right? I might be wrong. So if I say this wrong, I don't, excuse me, you know?
He's only saying what he knows.
Right. So, like, but in order to do communion,
right,
you have to do, like, confirmation, or you have to do communion confirmation. I don't know. Either which way, you got to take classes to do it. Moral of the story, you got to take some classes to do communion.
Right.
And the way the church we used to go to was set up in, like, two different classes, like the younger kids and the older kids, right? So I had just started. And I don't remember what my question was. I just remember the anger that I received from the teacher. And then she kicked me out of class. And I'm like, damn, I thought that was a good question. but it tainted me so bad. You know, it must have contradicted something she was teaching.
Right.
And I was like, for you to be that angry about something. You know, it's like people only get angry when they're defensive.
Right.
And why are you being defensive about the truth if that's what you're teaching?
Right.
You know, so yep. If you're not teaching me the truth because I'm questioning it. So that kind of tainted me at like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, that's my biggest memory of church.
Right.
Was being kicked out because
you asked a question.
You know, and I was one of the king's men. I was a cute little king's man. You know what I'm saying? And I actually talked my way into the show. My brother was so mad because he was the wise man.
Oh my God.
But I ended up being one of the shepherds. Some shit, girl. Shepherd. I think I had a goat or something. I don't know. But yeah, it was just like a bad experience. But anyway, we got all kinds of topics and we got to know Crystal a little more today. And, we gonna air this the way it is because that's what we do. But thank you guys for listening. We hope that we play this and you come back. y'all know I did what I always do. I cut Crystal off from saying stuff. It's just because I had so many questions.
Yeah.
I know I got questions.
Well, I usually don't talk about myself.
I know. It's so hard to get anything out of her. So I had questions.
Because I cry ugly, so.
That's why. I got it. If you want to see Crystal cry ugly, I started a GoFundMe. No.
All funds go.
Send $1 to the Cash App, right? And if I get $1,000, then I will release the Crystal crying ugly footage. You know what I'm saying? Now we will take that $1,000 and donate it to the No Shoe Foundation.
Yeah, my shoes got taken. That was traumatizing.
No. All the stuff this girl been through and the shoes was traumatizing stuff. No, you definitely, to know who you are now
mm-hmm.
will be not to believe your past. Because you're such an amazing person and you know how I feel about you and I love you. And I'm glad that you're here to teach the lessons that you're teaching. Thank you for opening up today.
You're welcome.
Remember, if you're out there and you're just in any kind of tough situation, there is a safe person for you to talk to. 911. You know, it sounds stupid. Yeah. It may not be an emergency. They got a non-emergency line. Like, these people, I hope they will help you get this. We need. You can, you know, look, it's like you want to say they would, but then it's like, I don't want to speak for 911.
Please call back.
They about to cut me off. I'm about to get fined by the FCC. Like, you keep sending people to 911. But you know, 988 is the National Suicide Hotline. All seriousness, you can always do that. I know that there's somebody in your life that you trust. And if there is nobody in your life that you trust, we need to work on your life.
Yeah.
No, because there should be somebody. We all go through fucked up situations. Yours is no more greater or less than mine and Crystal's.
Yeah.
We believe that you need to heal from it. And in order to heal from it, you have to confront it, talk about it, live through it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go around it. Let's heal people. Crystal, any last minute for the any last words?
Thank you for listening to me.
Even though Michael kept talking. And everything and anything that we said in this episode is not meant to be offensive. Look, in the real world.
Not be offensive.
At all. This is just our personal opinions. We're not bad people, even though some people say we might. And we might lose a couple of listeners. But if you go, then you need it to go. All right. Peace, love, and blessings.
Bye.
And that brings us to the end of yet another insightful episode of Trauma is Expensive. I'm signing off on behalf of your host, Micah Bravery. Reminding all you brave souls to continue counting the cost and making the change. Don't forget to visit www.traumaisexpensive.com a dynamic space for understanding, healing, and transformation, where we fuel the journey to turn pain into progress. Until we meet again, stay resilient, stay empowered, and remember the mantra, count the cost and make the change. Thank you for being part of the conversation. We bid you farewell until next time.